But this morning, you know, I've really been thinking about this, and something that just, you know, we all know this subject. We all understand this. This has all been a part of our life. We've all said this. But I just started thinking about it and trying to come at it in a manner that maybe I haven't thought about it before. But Jesus being the Son of God. You know, we all know that. But have we really pondered what that was? Can I tell you this? I have an imagination that may not be like your imagination. And some of you might be very thankful for that. But I just think in manners that I find that most people don't think. I used to think it was normal because I grew up in a family that was also weird and strange, or as the Bible would like to call us, peculiar. I thought just everybody was that way. And then I moved out and figured out not everybody was just crazy. I believe there are two types of people on the face of the earth. They're hyperactive and boring. But the good news is God loves us both.
That's right.
You know? And you don't have to be exactly like me. And thank God I don't have to be exactly like you. Because I'm going to tell you, I like me. I like me in a well-balanced way. I like hanging out with myself. If I'm just with me, now look, I don't want to hang out with me all day long, every day, and all by myself forever. I enjoy people. But if I'm stuck with just me, I'm a happy person. I entertain myself. I come up with fun things to do just with me. Some of you, that would be torture. Not being with me, being by yourself. But you know, I just started thinking about this. I just started thinking about God the Son. And look. Let's talk about this. We have no idea how long God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were together before they made angels. And then we don't know how long God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were together before they made the universe.
Right.
And before they made man. Right. We have no idea how much time passed before all this happened. So my thought process started thinking like this. I'm a father. And now I have two daughters. And I know how I play with them and have fun. I think, well, how did God the Father and God the Son interact before there was stars in the sky? What did they do? Have you ever thought about that? What did they do when there was nothing except for them? Before angels, angels have a creation. Before the world has a creation. Before anything was here, what did they do together? What did they do? I mean, I have some ideas. Would you like to hear them? All right, perfect. I'm glad. We might just have a whole conversation this morning. I don't know how this is going to work out. But I mean, like, what if, this is just a little crazy here, but what if the creation of the world was God putting a whole bunch of matter together and saying, Jesus, grab the bat. I'm going to throw this ball. And what if he threw it and God, Jesus, took a swing and that was the Big Bang? And it flung everything out into existence. Now, that is out there. And the probability of that being the creation, I think, is probably slim to none. But, I mean, what did they do? Did they throw? Did they play ball together? Did they play basketball together? Did they play hockey? I have no idea. But I do know this. Mine and your relationship. We have relationships. I have a relationship with my daughter. And it's not perfect. Can I tell you, I have made mistakes. I've actually got onto her for things she didn't do. I know, it's terrible. Like even yesterday, Ellie or Lucy wasn't feeling that well. And Ellie is just, both of them are really good at picking at the other one. And it just seemed like they picked it up very early on in life. Like they were born with a genetic code that they know how to irritate each other and also me at times. And they're just, it's like, it's in their DNA. I don't know how they come up with it. But it dumbfounded me how quickly Lucy learned to irritate Eliana. And just, she would do it and look at me and smile. I'm like, how do you know to do this? You're one. How do you know to do this? And so at two, she's only gotten better at it. And see, so our relationship, Ellie was picking at Lucy, and Lucy wasn't feeling that well. And I heard Ellie say something that she did not say. And I turned around and I yelled at her. And I said, Ellie, you will not. And thank God, Jessie was right there. And she said, Tim, Ellie didn't say that. And I looked at her. My first thought was just turn around and go on. You know, just ignore it. And but then my second thought is, she needs to know that when I'm wrong, I can say I'm sorry. And I went to her and I said, Ellie, you know, I'm sorry. I misheard what you said and I apologize. But this is the cool thing. God has never had to apologize. And can I tell you this? Because there, you know, your relationship with your father may be good and it may have been bad. And the reason it would be bad is because there is sin in this earth. Yeah. Now, in heaven, there is no sin. With God, there is no sin. Yeah. So therefore, God has the perfect relationship with his son.
That's right.
It is perfect.
Wow.
Have you ever thought about that? What does a perfect relationship with your child look like? Right. I don't know because I don't have one.
Right.
But I wonder what it is that God in Jesus did. I would say all day, but they were around before day even mattered.
Right. And then,
well, how did they see? Because the light of the glory shined.
Right.
And so it's like, what did they do? Now, this is my thought. Have you ever did a science project? Have you ever had to make a model of the universe? What if, this is just a crazy thought, what if we're standing on Jesus' science project? What if the Lord gave Jesus a project to do and said, create the Milky Way?
Right.
What if he made the model that we make the models of?
Wow, that's good.
I mean, it's just, it's not really good. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. I mean, it just kind of blows me out of the water. I mean, there's nothing. Do I have any scripture to back this up? No, you don't have to believe any of this. This is not doctrinal truth. I just started a thought process that made me dig in a little deeper to think, what is and what was God's relationship? I my mentality went into this. It's like, what if after the earth was created, the Holy Spirit moved upon the waters, the earth came up out of the waters divided, and the earth was here? What if God looked at Jesus and said, let's make some rivers. And Jesus put his finger down and made the river Wisconsin. And God looked at him and said, you know, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Now watch this. And God used his finger and made the Mississippi. What if he said, let's make some mountain ranges. And God used his hands. Jesus got his hands together and made the Rockies.
Wow.
And Jesus, you know, God the Father looked at Jesus like, that's pretty good. And then he made the Andes.
Wow.
We're like, you know, What was it like?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about this? Am I the only crazy person in this whole place? But I think along these lines. Is that the way this was? Did God use this to teach Jesus what to do? Because I remember my father. I remember watching my father shave. And I wanted to shave so bad that I got his razor and I cut myself. And it, you don't, as a child, you don't know a sting until you get, because you cut yourself before you even know you did it. Have you ever seen like a cartoon grab a hold of something hot?
Yeah.
And then that hotness runs up their arms till it reaches their brain. When you cut yourself with a finely sharp razor, you don't even know it's done until that cut moves to your brain and lets you know that it happened. I mean, those things are so sharp. And I remember I cut myself and I didn't even know until I looked down and there was blood in the sink. And so then I ran to my father. And then you know what my dad did? He didn't. He got on to me for messing with his razor and he told me never to mess with his razor. And then I noticed he started storing them a lot higher than I could reach. But one of the things he did was he got one of his razors and he took the blade out. And he said, get in here, get in here. And he taught me how to shave with a razor that had no blades. And he, you know, he make me stretch my neck up and go along the line. And I mean, I loved it. I wanted to be like my father. And I wanted to do what my father could do. I wanted to do what he did. And I wanted to be as strong as he was. And I wanted to, my daddy's a big old man. And I wanted to be as big as he was. I kind of wonder what Jesus' relationship was with his father. And what did he watch God do something and say, I want to do that too?
Wow.
I just wonder. I mean, there's nothing that I can point to in Scripture and say this has happened. But it definitely makes me think. And we know that God, the Father, was very pleased with Jesus because the day Jesus was baptized, the God said before all of humanity that was right there, he said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. God loved Jesus. And Jesus loved God. And they brought each other pleasure in their very existence. And can I tell you, my girls bring me pleasure. And I love to watch them grow. I love to watch them think. I love to listen to what they say. I even enjoy when they talk nonsense at night sometimes. Just recently, Ellie wasn't feeling good, so we let her sleep with us, which is very rare. And she came in, and just in the middle of the night, she said, "Mommy, Mommy, behind you." And so that made me jump up very quickly. We're like, "What's behind Mommy? We have to get ready. We might have to throw down very quickly in this place." And then she said, "Mommy, the alligator's behind you." And then I'm like, "Okay, we're good." we're good. She's just out of it a little bit. And so, it was like 1:32 in the morning, and it made me laugh at 2 in the morning. My kid brings great pleasure to me when they're doing something creative, when they're doing something productive, and when they're doing something absolutely silly. It may irritate me at sometimes, but when I sit down and think this is no big deal, it's fun just to sit down and watch and play and think in their mindset. So I do wonder what God's relationship with Jesus was. I want to read the most famous scripture in all of the Bible, John 3:16. We're going to go there, but I wanted to read Isaiah 9:6 first. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Now, this is I broke this scripture down many times here, and this one is something that just really pulls at my heart, because it says, "Unto us a child was born." On our side, we look and we say a child was born. But on God's side, in His perspective, a son was given to us. We got our side, a child was born. And then we got God's side, a son was given. And so if you're writing, taking notes, you ought to write this down. Our first point is Jesus was given. Jesus was given. And again, the most famous verse in all the Bible, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Most of you learned that in Sunday school. So this week I started thinking of the line of Jesus is the Son, and what does the perfect relationship look like? And I do wonder, I believe when we get to heaven, you know, it won't be like a movie theater like this, but in my mind, we'll be able to have a movie theater. But it's not like a movie on the wall. I believe we'll be able to get in and interact. We'll get to be there. And I believe we'll get to go back and all the times of humanity, all the history of the world, and watch it. I look forward to going back to the Red Sea splitting and walking through and seeing what that looks like. The creation of the world, watching God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit create this whole world, this whole universe. I want to watch that. Somebody said, "Well, that may take billions of years." Yeah, in Earth time, but I got a lot of time. You know, we got a lot to do. We got a lot of time on our hands, and so I look forward to watching all this stuff. I believe we get to see it, amen. And so I wonder what that looks like. But I started thinking about God the Father and God the Son. And I started thinking about my relationship with Eliana and Lucy, and really just pondering over that and some of the, you know, horrible things that happened, like Eliana breaking her leg. That was a bad day. I remember I was in the basement and I was sitting down. We had painters in the house, people I don't know, right? And so Jesse and the kids are about to leave the house, and I'm just going to stay in the basement and work and stay out of the way of the painters. And all of a sudden, I hear a blood-curdling scream. And the first thought that came through my life is, I might have to kill a painter. I wish I could say that I was more redeemed than that, but that was the first thought that went through my mind, is we may have a problem here. And so I took off running as fast as I could. And when I came up the stairs and busted through the door, and both the painters were frozen. I mean, they were not moving. Their brushes were, you know, one of them had a paint can in his hand, and he was just frozen looking at the wall. The other one was looking at me with the roller, and he wasn't moving. And so I realized the scream came from upstairs. And so I started, and as I turned the curve, there is Ellie on the stairs, Jesse and Lucy on the stairs, and Jesse's not moving. I get Jesse up, and then I look down, and Ellie's foot is pointed in a direction that should not be. that is not humanly possible when bones are together to point in that direction. So I remember looking down and being like, oh, God. And I told Jesse, I said, get in the truck. You're going to drive. I'm going to get in the back, and I'm going to lay down and hold her. And I remember, you know, I have practiced this many times because it's very hard for me to talk about it and not cry a little bit. So I'm going to do everything I can because I don't like crying. But I remember as we're exiting and going to the hospital, and I tell Jesse, I said, put on your emergency lights, and if you have to, you run red lights. And she said, no, I am not running red lights. And I'm like, yes, you are, woman. You are running red lights. My baby is hurt. We're getting there, and we're getting there fast. You know, I grew up in a town that was an hour and a half away from the nearest hospital. So when we went somewhere, if we had to go to a hospital, I forget that I live 10 minutes away. You know, I revert back to the way I was raised. Right. 100 mile an hour down the middle of the road, and people get out of your way. Right. And so I reverted back to that, even knowing that it's a broken leg. Everything is fine. And Eliana looked up at me, and she was a trooper, man. She didn't really cry that much. She was a trooper, even though she broke both the bones in her leg completely through. And her foot is turned at a different angle. She looked at me and she said, Daddy, sing My God is Greater. And I only know a few words of My God is Greater. You know, I just, when I sing songs, I sing the chorus and then I kind of mouth everything else. Greater in power, My God is great. You know, I know some of the words, but the rest of the words, I don't really know. I make them up as I go. Which does apparently annoy some people. And I look at her and I'm singing it and I'm making up verses and she's singing along with me and I'm holding her leg still, and every once in a while she goes, ow, ow, ow. And I'm trying to hold her as still as I can, and I get her to the hospital. And once we get her there, and then they found out, they asked us, did she eat breakfast? And we said, yes. What time? We told them. They said, we have to wait 6 hours because if we put her under, she could throw up. So we need that food to be digested. So I'm thinking, sitting in a bed for 6 hours. So what was great was she wasn't crying. She was just calming down. She was just very calm. And so they didn't even give her anything for pain. They gave her nothing for pain because they said we have to give her an IV and her veins are so little, we might have to do it a lot. And so we would prefer to just let her sit here until, unless she starts really complaining about the pain. So we sat there for hours watching my little girl sit there and cry a little bit every time she tried to move. But the good news is they put those little bones back together and she has no problems, thank God. But you know what that also made me start thinking about when I started thinking about God the Father watching God the Son here on this earth? I thought about that, and I thought about all the pain and suffering that my kid went through. But then I thought about all the pain and suffering that I went through as a kid, that I put my mom and dad through. Yeah. That, you know, it wasn't any fault, not on purpose. I broke my leg. I broke my foot. It was my cousin's fault. He was mean. He was mean. I was on top of a slide, right? My parents had my grandparents had a swimming pool. And I was on the top. And Jeremiah was behind me. I'm going to send him a copy of this so he can hear it. And I was acting like an idiot, but I was probably 5 years old, so I was given that right. So I was acting like Tarzan, beating my chest, standing at the top of the slide. Well, Jeremiah wanted to go down that slide. So you know what he did? He gave me a help over the side. He thought he pushed me hard enough that I would land in the water. He was wrong. I landed on the concrete. And my foot hit down first, so I shattered. I didn't break them. I shattered 3 bones in my toes. I shattered 3 in my toes. I broke one of the bones and dislocated one. And my foot was at an angle. Because of that dislocated bone, it kept my foot straight down instead of the shape it should have been. So I went to the doctor, and I remember this. He's like, hey, look over there. And I looked, and when he did, he shut my foot straight down on the ground to pop that bone back into place. And that, you want to talk about screaming? And I reached back to smack that doctor. And my father caught my hand. I still think of that today. I'm about to sock him right in his face. He lied to me. Well, he didn't lie, but he misled me. He's like, look at that on the wall. And then shoved my foot down. Yeah. He should have told me what he was about to do. And, you know, I remember that. And I remember my dad being right beside me. He's the one who caught my hand, right? I remember splitting my leg open from my ankle to my knee. 120 plus stitches. Oh, man. I saw the bone in my leg. I saw it. I bled everywhere. They didn't know if I would make it to the hospital in time. They thought I might bleed out. And I remember my father. And I remember him driving. My grandmother was a nurse, so they did a tourniquet. And my grandmother owned, they had a gas station and a little store, right? And so my grandmother yelled, get me, because she was a square dancer, right? Yep, we were very redneck. And so she had some skirts hanging up that they sold. And she said, get me one of the skirts and get me a plunger. I thought, a skirt and a plunger? What is she about to do to me? And this was the kicker. My sister and two of cousins were sitting down and they're crying. They put me, you know, where you cash out at the store, at the convenience store. They just threw everything off of it and laid me right there, blood going everywhere. My grandmother yells what to get. My cousins, while they're doing this, my cousins begin to talk and my sister begin to talk. They're like, my sister Tawny, she said, he was my favorite brother. I was her only brother. He's my favorite brother. And my cousin Joseph, he said, he's my favorite cousin. And then Jessica, my other cousin, she said, I'm going to miss him so much. And I remember hearing that and be like, what does she mean she's going to miss me? And then my cousin Joseph said, he's going to die. And I looked at my mother and said, I'm going to die? And she turned to she said, no, baby, you're not going to die. And she turned and she yelled, shut up, all of you, shut up. And my grandmother grabbed that plunger and hit it against the wall and knocked that plunger right off the end. And she ripped the skirt and she put it around my leg and she used it as a tourniquet to stop the bleeding in my leg. And she looked at me and and my daddy and my mama. We had a hospital in Apalachicola, if you could call it that, which was about 15, 20 minutes away. And she said, you don't have time to go to the city, son. You get him to the hospital and you get him now. And so they drove me straight there. And I remember they tried to give me painkillers to stop the pain. None of them worked. My body was in shock and I was fighting it off. It just wasn't working. And I watched them sew me up. They didn't have the gas. We're talking about the hospital. They didn't know how. They couldn't put me out. And so they sewed me up and I watched them and I felt every bit of it. I felt every bit of it. And my dad was there beside me. And I remember him driving and him saying, quoting the scripture, I seen thee in thy blood, thine own blood polluted. And I said unto you, live. You will live and not die. And you will proclaim the works of the Lord. I remember my father quoting the scripture the whole way there. The whole way there. He was constantly talking to me. My mother was talking to me as well. And she was making sure I was conscious. And I just thought it was so... She's like, Tim, how many fingers am I holding up? I'm like, why are you keep asking me this? I am in so much pain. Leave me. That I would never speak to her like that because she would have killed me right back there and it would have been blamed on the leg. No charges would have been pressed against her. And so, you know, I was smart enough not to say anything like that to my mother. But they were there the whole time. And I remember going through all this. I remember, and that's just a couple of the stories. Oh, I remember one time going to the hospital with a 106.8 temperature, and they rushed me to the hospital. Apalachicola, again, the hospital that's been shut down several times. because they didn't have time to make it. I remember laying in the bed, in the gurney, or whatever they called it. And I remember the guys running, and the nurses hollering, the doctors screaming, everybody screaming at each other. And I remember laying in this bed and coming in and out of consciousness. And so I remember them coming with 5-gallon buckets. Now, they don't do this anymore. They say this is bad to do anymore. But I remember them packing ice up underneath my arms, between my legs on the outside, just pouring it all over me and putting an ice pack on my head. And I remember telling them, I'm cold. And apparently they didn't care or do anything about it. But I remember them doing this. And I remember the doctor looking at both my parents and telling them, do you believe in a creator? And my father said, I do. He said, you better reach him now. And without any reservations and without afraid of looking foolish, they begin to pray in the Spirit and they begin to command my temperature to come down. And that's the last thing I remember. I went back to unconscious. And I tell you all this because I think of it and I remember how much pain it put me through to watch my daughter in pain and not realizing how much pain my parents went through watching me in pain. And I think of God the Father. A son was given. And God watched the crucifixion of his son for all of humanity.
Yes.
And we know it was a hard thing because even Jesus said, Father, if this cup can pass,
right,
let it pass. You know, take this from me.
Yep.
But he said, never. Yeah. Father, we want your will to be done. Now, the amazing thing is Jesus was in agreement that his death would bring forth the resurrection, but it would bring forth the Gentiles being able to come into the family of God. Have you ever questioned why? I have. Why? Why did it have to be a crucifixion? Why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't it have been another way? You know, like I said, I have a crazy imagination. We understand that a payment had to be made. Well, what? Just give the earth to Satan and move us all to a different planet. Create us another one. Pay him off. Am I the only one that thinks this way? Apparently. But why was it this way? Why did it have to be brutal? Why did there have to be torture? Why did he have to be murdered? And that's what happened. Jesus was murdered. Why did that have to happen? And it comes back to the word propitiation. And it's not a word that we use very much in the English language. And I want to give you the definition of that, but I want to give you a definition of another word, expiation. Now, propitiation and expiation, these are two different things, but it looks at sin. Both of them look at sin. Both of them look at sin. But one of them looks at sin from our perspective. And another looks at it from God's perspective. So expiation means our sins are covered, cleansed, and expelled from us. And that's our side. That's humanity's side. We see the cross and we see that our sins have been executed. They no longer live. They have been separated from us. They do not exist. But when God looks at the cross, he looks at it as propitiation, which means God's wrath has been completely satisfied. You know, I've had this question as a pastor. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. God seemed to be, in the Old Testament, an angry God. I think that's up for debate. But we cannot deny that there were times that God got very upset with humanity and wanted to wipe us all out.
Yeah.
God had wrath for sin, anger for sin, a payment that must be paid for sin. And when Jesus went to the cross, he was our propitiation. He not only separated us from our sin as we see it, but he took all the anger of God, every bit of all the punishment. Have you ever corrected your kids for their sake? I have. He took all that anger and he poured it upon Jesus. Someone had to pay the price for sin of humanity, and Jesus took that punishment. 2 Corinthians 5:21 states this: for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Amplified puts it this way: he made Christ who knew no sin judiciously, the southern accent has problems with some words. I don't know if you've noticed. To be sin on our behalf, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. That is, we would be made acceptable to him and placed in a right relationship with God.
Wow.
by his gracious, loving kindness.
That's good. Amen.
Jesus took our place with sin. He took the payment that we deserved, the punishment that was coming our way.
Yep.
And he satisfied God's anger.
Yes.
You know, this is probably very brutal, for a lack of better terms at this moment. But if somebody was murdered in your family and you found the person that did it, and someone else said, "I'll volunteer in their place to take their punishment," in my mind, that would not justify, that would not satisfy justice for me. But Jesus, God, legally, when Jesus took our place, it satisfied the law.
That's right.
It satisfied the law.
Amen. Amen.
God said, "This is acceptable."
Yep.
So first, a son was given. And two, Jesus was killed. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, "And wait for his son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which was delivered us from the wrath to come." When you face Jesus, when you face God, there will be no wrath for you. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, there is no angry God waiting on you. You will not come in contact with a God that is disappointed. You will not come in contact with a God that is angry. I don't know how your father reacted when he was angry at you, but for me, when my daddy was angry at me, it normally was his big old belt buckle coming off. And I had to face the wrath of my father. What Jesus did was make sure that when you come in the presence of God, you'll never hear the chinking and changing of that belt buckle.
That's right.
You'll never
That's
right. hear it.
Amen.
You'll
Amen.
Never feel it, because there is not an angry God waiting for you.
Amen.
There is a loving God who we have been delivered
yes.
from the wrath
yes.
that is
Amen.
To come.
Good.
Jesus was given. Jesus was killed. But point three, Jesus was raised from the dead.
Yes. Amen.
John 21:14 says, "This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead." Acts 5:30 says this, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew," or we could just say murdered, "and hanged on a tree." Do you know that there are other documents, historical documents, that point to the resurrection of Jesus besides the Bible? There are other documents.
Yeah.
I love this one. The letters of Caesar. What was his wife? Caesar. I'm forgetting his name of his wife. She wrote letters that they have. And she talks about Jesus. She talks about Jesus, and that after his death, that she is convinced he was the Son of God. And she recalls not only of his resurrection, but the fact that hundreds of thousands of people
right.
saw him after his death.
Wow.
And there's more historical documents that point back to that. But, you know, we don't need historical documents to point to anything
right.
if we got God's word on it. There's more several documents that point back to him. I know of at least five that point back to recalling, not biblical documents, historical documents, that talks about Jesus coming back from the dead.
Amen.
The Bible lets us know that when Jesus rose from the dead, he stayed on this earth 40 days.
Yep.
40 days
yep.
on this earth. Not only, this is a side we didn't learn in Sunday school, not only did he raise from the dead, but other people got out of the grave.
Right.
God's resurrection was so powerful. His coming up from the dead was so powerful that those nearby got up out of the grave as well. I don't know what rules and how many and how long they've been dead, but could you imagine? Some people might have been upset. I just buried my mother-in-law. And her butt gets up and comes to dinner that night. I thought we had this one. But I'm sure there was other joyful
yes.
experiences as well. But Jesus went around. There's an interesting thought process behind this. What if Jesus went to all the corners of the world? But Jesus was raised from the dead.
Amen.
I remember when Eliana was born. I also remember very much when Lucy was born. But when Eliana, our first child, I didn't know how I was going to react. I didn't know if I would cry. I didn't know what would happen. I'm kind of an emotional person. I don't know if you've noticed. But I looked at Jesse and both our eyes met and we just both laughed. We were filled with unbelievable joy. And we were so thankful and so happy that we had a healthy baby girl. And you know, they were so different from birth, which is amazing. Somebody told me, your kids will be so different from day one. I'm like, they're a sack of potatoes. They don't do anything. They eat, they sleep, you change their diapers. That's it. It's amazing how different they are.
Oh, yeah.
And how quickly it was able. Like Ellie, anytime I held her, I was the answer to all her problems. She could have a bad day. She could be crying. Her mom, Jessie, couldn't get her to calm down. But just as soon as I put her in my arms, Daddy made the world right. Now, Lucy, on the other hand, cried every time I held her for the first 2 weeks of life. I looked at Jessie and I told her, I said, I'm trying not to get a complex here, but this is starting to get hard. You're like, my daughter hates me. Now, thankfully, that has changed. And now she's finally at a place where she wants Daddy to put her to bed and Daddy to brush her teeth. And I'm going to tell you, I eat that mess up. I love it. I love it. And I want to tell you this. If all of humanity's salvation rested upon me sending one of my girls to die and receive the wrath of God for propitiation for you, you're out of luck. I would never send my girls to go in your place. Couldn't do it. I couldn't sit there and watch it. And I tried to think about that this week. What God had to watch. What God saw. Now I know He was looking at the end result. How about this? God sent His Son to die in your place for something you've done. Yeah, okay, we get that. But what about the stranger, someone? How about this? People who don't care.
Wow.
And people who will never receive.
Wow.
He sent His Son to die for some people who spit at His name, who will burn His word, who will deny Him to all of humanity, who will tempt Him, who will stand on stage and say, if there is a God, let Him kill me as proof. Can I tell you something? If I was God, I would kill Him. I would kill Him on stage. But God has mercy and grace. And can I tell you something? God brought out to my point one time that when somebody did that on stage, I didn't show mercy and grace. I was watching a comedian on television and he stood up and said that. I jumped up and slammed my fist down and said, kill him, God, now! I was very upset. And then afterwards, the Lord so gently pointed out to me, have you ever sinned? Well, of course I have. All have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. And He said, you deserve to die just as much as He did.
Wow.
He says, only my grace, not yours.
Yes.
Only my grace that would keep somebody alive that curses me to my face.
Amen.
And I all of a sudden felt very small and repented. Even though I didn't know of anything wrong in my life, I brought me to repentance. The goodness of God will bring you to repentance.
Amen. That's right.
And the beauty is, no matter how much we've done wrong, no matter how much we have missed the mark, that if we come to Jesus, if we accept Him as our Savior, all of God's wrath that should be ours was poured upon Him.
Amen.
And He's already paid the price. Have you ever seen someone give away free cars? Have you ever seen that on television where somebody gives away a free car? Or maybe you've been given a free car. You can say, no, I can't accept this. Some people will walk away and just believe, nobody gives away free cars. What's the catch? And they don't have to accept it. They can walk away. But this morning, we have the ability to take the keys.
Yes.
Get inside and accept everything that God has for us.
Good.
This morning, I want to invite you to make that decision if you haven't. This is what Easter is all about. It's not about a little bunny that jumps around and brings eggs, which is fun to do and dye them all different amazing colors. But it is about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That he paid the price.
Yes.
That we can accept that today.
Yes.
That we can walk out of this place knowing that when we meet our Savior, we are delivered from the wrath that is to come.
Amen.
You might say to yourself, well, I've done too much. No. The price that was paid is greater than any sin that could ever be committed.
Yes.
I'd like every head bowed and every eyes closed in this place.